We welcome you watching us online wherever you're at around the world. If you're locally at a Long Beach area, we invite you to come and worship with us and experience the power of God. This morning, we're going to get into the Word. Someone say Word. We believe that God has a word for somebody in the house today. And we are going to be talking about overcoming the spirit of fear. And I am excited that our very own Pastor Laura Worth is going to be breaking the bread of the living God with us. Amen. So let's give the Lord a big hand for Pastor Laura as she comes up and she shares the word of God. Amen. By the way, she's my wife.
Yes, again, I do. You get that later. God bless you. Good morning. My husband just whispered and said you guys had an altar call. I love when we have that time, with that extended time with the Lord, because God meets us, right? When we come to the altar and we spend that time, extended time, in His presence. So this morning, God just compelled me several weeks ago to minister on the topic of overcoming the spirit of fear. Because if you're like me, we've dealt with it probably all of our life in different ways and different forms. It doesn't just look the same way. It comes at us from this shape, from that shape, from different people, different circumstances, different issues and situations, different ways. But I have learned for myself personally how to apply some of the truths that are rooted in God's word in my own life that has helped me overcome more and more the spirit of fear. And so that's what I want to share with you today. I just want to share for the next, you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes or so, some of the things that I've learned how to apply in my life. But what I felt compelled to do is to kind of give us some understanding, because I realized that there are some of us here in the house that maybe are new in the Lord. Maybe some of us just dedicated our life to the Lord, or some of us maybe just don't even understand really what this is all about. And so I want to start by answering the question, what is fear? And what I want to do to help us is to identify, as the Bible does, two specific types of fear so that we are not confused. Because it's important that we know the difference. Understanding both types of fear will give you us a proper perspective on how to respond. So if you brought your Bible this morning, open it up. If you don't have a Bible, we have one for you free. We want everybody to always have their own Bible that they can write in and highlight as God gives them a word of encouragement, something that speaks from God's word directly to our hearts. So the first type of fear that I want to highlight is the godly fear. And I want to underline this because we need to understand. Sometimes I think it's easy for us to get confused because we read in the Bible all throughout, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, fear God, and then it says, fear not. And it says, fear the Lord, and then it says, do not be afraid. So which is it? Why is it saying in one sense to not fear, and then in another sense that we are to fear? So I kind of want to help us and give us a little bit of understanding in that area briefly before we get into what I really want to talk to us about today. And so the first type of fear, which is the godly fear, I want us to know that it's that reverential awe of God, and it's a reverence for God's power and God's glory. We read about this type of fear in Hebrews 12:28. And it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So there is a place for fear, but it is godly fear that we are commanded to have toward God. Godly fear means that we must also have a proper respect for His eternal judgment. Because there is an eternity waiting for us when we leave this place called earth. I want us to know that we are first a spirit being. We have a soul, yet we live in a body. So there is an eternal judgment. And when we understand all of this and the fear of the Lord, that we will have a total acknowledgement of who God is through knowing Him and all of His attributes. So there is a purpose for godly fear that I want to just briefly highlight so we understand this concept of godly fear. What it does is it brings godliness and blessings. That's what godly fear does in the life of a believer. It brings godliness and blessings. Who loves blessings? Okay, so all of us do, right? And so God gives us a floor plan. He says, you will be blessed, but you must fear me. You must respect and have reverence for me. And so what godliness and blessings do, number one, is, or what godly fear does, is it causes us to hate evil. Now, I don't want to get into all of what is going on in this generation and what Christians believe is okay to do and not to do. But let me tell you, we don't base what we do or don't do, what we call good or evil, on what the world says. We base it on what God says. So when I came to a realization that God really wanted me to walk in holiness and a sanctification that was set apart from the things of this world, I began to pray things like this. I would say, God, give me a love for the things that you love. And give me a hatred for the things that you hate, the works of darkness. And they're laid out in many places, but specifically in Galatians 5. And it lays it out for us. The works of darkness. So we know what they are. And so I began to pray that, and I began to see God really give me a desire to love the things that he loved. And as a result, God began to fill me with more and more of a godly lifestyle. So I want to highlight this point because it doesn't just happen. We have to be intentional on pursuing God and his righteousness. And then God will add the other things to us that we need, because God knows that we need. The second thing that godly fear does is that it brings wisdom and it brings knowledge. I love that God constantly gives us wisdom and he gives us knowledge. In Psalm 111 verse 10 and Proverbs 1:7, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it is also the beginning of knowledge. God says in his word, he says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And so it's a good thing, it's a necessary thing to have the knowledge of God. And it's not the information-based knowledge, it is an intimate knowledge of who he really is. And then godly fear is a fountain of life. How many of us want to live a full and abundant life? Well, God promises his people that he will give us a fountain of life. In Proverbs 14:27, he says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death, the traps, the tricks of the enemy that lead us into the path of death, specifically spiritual death. God says, fear me, and I will lead you in the right way. And so the fear of the Lord is godly fear, and those who walk in it will obtain many blessings and benefits. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Somebody say, God, I want that. I want to live godly, and I want your blessings. Amen? Well, let's close our eyes. We're going to bow our hearts, and we're going to pray and ask God that he really speak to us even more as we go through his word and tackle the second type of fear this afternoon, this morning. God, we thank you, Lord, for another yet divine appointment with you, God, in your house, in the sanctuary. We ask, Lord, that your word, God, would penetrate our hearts, that it would come alive inside of us, oh God. Open our ears to hear very clearly what you are speaking to your church about today, God. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today I really want to tackle this different type of fear. It is a type of fear that it's not new. It has plagued many generations before us. And continues to do so today. It not only plagues Christians throughout the world, but even those in our local body here at Chapel of Change. According to an informal survey that God actually placed in my hands, fear actually ranked as the number one struggle that people deal with here in this church. Not our neighbor's church, but here. The number one struggle that people deal with is fear. And so God compelled me. He says, you've got to teach on this area because my people would perish for a lack of proper knowledge about fear and how to overcome the spirit of fear. Teach. And so I'm going to share some of the practical things that I have had to learn in my own life in order for me to overcome that spirit more and more in my life. I believe that one of the reasons that many Christians are experiencing a great fear in their life today is because they are keeping their eyes fixed on more of what is going on around us than on God Himself. If we can just be honest, that we, whether intentionally or unintentionally, allow fear to enter into our mind and into our hearts. You say, how? We do that through everything around us and allowing our eyes to be glued on it. We allow it through the television. The television, namely the news, loves to funnel media. That's how they get our attention. That's how they make their money. And so the spirit of fear, which is operating in the spirit realm, is coming through this television set. And it is impacting the body of Christ. And we don't even know it. That's one of the reasons why the Bible says, let your eyes set no wicked thing. Let your eyes set itself on no wicked thing. Why? Because the television and other things that are ungodly are full of fear. We hear about it or we read about it in the newspaper. We read about it or see it in social media, even the billboards. It's everywhere. We read things like terrorism, things like gangs and shootings, drive-bys. We read things like stock market crashes for those that have 401ks and IRAs and all that other stuff. And listen, the enemy tries to paralyze us and says, that's your source. That's your resource. God says, no, that's not your resource. And so what happens? The stock market crashes and we become paralyzed with fear. A major illness. We get a report from the doctor's office and that very diagnosis paralyzes us in our very tracks. But I want to remind us today that you have been given a God-given authority and a blood-bought right to stand in the face of that diagnosis and to rebuke it, to resist it, and to reject it, and to bind it, and to loose it from you in Jesus' name. God's given you that power and that authority. I want us to know that. I'm not just saying it. God says in His Word that there is life and health in His Word. Life and health. It's talking about our physical body, not just our spirit. And so everywhere we look, if we allow ourselves, we will let the spirit of fear consume us and even overwhelm us. But that is not the type of spirit that God has given us. The fear, this type of fear, is not from God. The second type of fear, which is the one we're going to deal with now, is what I refer to as sinful fear. Sinful fear, this is the unhealthy fear. This type of fear brings panic. It brings terror and or an unpleasant emotion caused by a sense of impending danger. This type of fear is harmful and it must be overcome. The purpose behind this type of fear is to intimidate, to paralyze, to terrorize, and to torment God's people. It opens the door to many debilitating conditions and strongholds, such as anguish, anxiety, worry, despair, stress, and so on. This spirit of fear tries to take us out and at the very least keep us bound. We must not allow this spirit of fear to consume us and to overwhelm us. We have to be intentional about facing it and attacking it. If not, it will rob the very peace and the joy and the faith that God's word promises its people. Now, why is it described as sinful fear? I want to submit to you this morning that because it was through sin that fear entered mankind, namely the sin of disobedience. When we look back to the beginning, in the book of Genesis, chapter 2 and 3, we will see that it originated in the Garden of Eden through Adam and Eve. They disobeyed God's command. God had given them a very strict command. He had said, of the tree in the garden, you may eat of. You may eat anything you want, except. Someone say, except. Because God gives us an except. He says, you may do this, but you may not do that. He says, Adam, Eve, you may eat of anything in this garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they disobeyed. And after they disobeyed, the Bible says that their eyes were opened and they knew that they were naked. They knew in that moment. In Genesis 3, verses 9 through 10, it reads, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Now we know that he knew where he was physically, but he was asking him because he wanted to know where he was spiritually. And so he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. I was afraid. Why? Because he was naked and he hid himself. You see, what I want us to understand is that sin opened the door to fear, and fear then entered the heart of mankind. Sinful fear. This is the type of fear that God does not want us to walk in. It was never God's intent then, nor it is now for us to walk in this type of fear. From Genesis all throughout Revelation, he tells us, fear not, fear not. Do not be afraid. He says in Genesis 15:1, which we're going to put up on the board, he says to Abraham, do not be afraid. He says, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. He says that to Abraham, I'm your shield. In other words, I'm your protector. I will protect you. Trust me. Proverbs 3:25, do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. Now that word sudden terror, I don't know about you, but that's kind of a good description, wouldn't you say? When we're faced with a situation that we have absolutely no idea how we're going to handle it. And it's like something that can harm us. An impending danger type of a situation. He says in Luke 12:32, he says, do not fear, little flock. I love that tenderness about God. He says, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So now we understand that the spirit of fear, according to 2 Timothy 1:7, is not from God. He says himself, for God has not given you, us, the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, it's important that we understand that it is not God's purpose nor will for us to walk in this type of fear. As a matter of fact, he calls it sin and disobedience when we walk in this type of fear. But I want us to understand today, because my main purpose for us is to really understand how to overcome this spirit of fear. Because many of us will be faced with that very spirit the moment we leave this place today. And I want to give us some tools, some practical things that we can walk away with. And some of them we've already heard, but for some reason they haven't penetrated or really impacted us in such a way that we're willing to listen to God and walk that way. How do we overcome fear? How do we conquer? How do we prevail? How do we subdue it? How do we put it under our feet? I want to share a passage in the Bible, in the book of Numbers 13, and you can turn there if you wish. But I want to just kind of give us a brief summary, and many of us have heard of it. And it was about the 12 spies. It was 12 spies that God had spoken through Moses, commanding them to go into the promised land to spy it out, right? They were to spy it out and then come back so that they can all go in together and conquer that land. But what ended up happening is that instead of all 12 spies coming back with a good report, there were only two. I want us to see. 12 went in with the same command, the same commission, the same situation, the same giants, the same city. It was the same for 12 of them. 12. But not all 12 of them came back with a heart full of fear and a heart ready to conquer. Only two. Guess which two? Do you know them? Caleb and Joshua. I want us to understand, because it's not just a story. It's a real life encounter and situation that happened in their lives. And I think that it resembles many of our lives today. Because two of us in God's house that could be serving God for the same number of years and be pressing in could be faced with a similar situation, but not both of them walk away in the same way. God is not a respecter of persons. Listen, he tells us always and constantly. He says, ask, seek, and knock, and you shall receive. What is happening with one person is they are coming into this situation head on. And the spirit of fear is coming against them. Whatever it is, that fear of rejection, right? That fear that paralyzes, that fear that stops them from walking in God's purpose for them, or that fear that even stops them from witnessing about Jesus to others in their everyday life. All types of fear. And so two people are faced with the same fear, the same situation, and they each are given a choice. The second person steps into the scene facing the same situation as their brother or sister just did. Same diagnosis, same devastating news. And what happens? This person makes a decision that they're not going to be subdued, but that they're going to subdue. You see, it's a perspective that one has to have. It's a fierce perspective. It's a ferocious even perspective. The Bible tells us that the righteous are bold as a lion. He doesn't give us room for fear. Now, I know it's a nice thing to say to somebody, oh, it's okay to have fear. But let me tell you, you're doing no one a favor. You're not doing anybody a favor. You're not pacifying them. You're enabling them. If I can just be real with us. I had a lot of that in my life growing up. Oh, it's okay. God understands. I've come to tell you today that after I've learned how to face fear and even laugh in the face of fear, I'm no longer going to allow fear to have its way in my life. And it doesn't mean that we deny the reality of fear. It doesn't mean that the fear doesn't attack us. Oh, yeah, it's going to come. It's going to try to attack us. It's going to try to overwhelm us. But we have in that moment, because it's a day by day moment. It's a situation by situation moment. It's a word by word moment that we have to make a choice. What will we do? Will we cave into fear? Or will we overcome fear? God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't say it's just for Pastor Brian or just for Pastor Sandy. He doesn't say that. He says, come to me boldly with holy boldness to my throne of grace. Listen, it's too strong for you. I know that you can't handle it. And that's okay, because when you are weak, I am made strong in you. When are you going to come to me? He says, I have your back. I have your back. I love that about God. I was sharing this morning, very briefly, I was sharing that when I was in worship at our Carson campus, I really felt like I was having this relationship of this communication with God. And he was speaking to me, and I was speaking to him, and then he was speaking to me. I love that. And it was from his word. And it's a word that he's given to me. It's my life verse. But I love when he ministers to me that way, because that's what happens. The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. And the more you draw near to love, which is God himself, the more that fear will be cast out of your life. That's the truth. Listen, when I was having this encounter with God, God was reminding me, my daughter, She who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you know what the shadow represents? It represents divine protection and safety. Divine protection and safety. And so I want to remind us today that if we are going to respond God's way, we will then respond to God when He opens the door to this conversation. In verse 2 of Psalm 91, yes, Lord, I will trust in You. You are my fortress. You are my refuge, and in You I shall trust. I love it because God gives us a promise. He expects us to respond to His promise. And then He performs His promise. He says that He watches over His word to perform it. In verse 3, I love it because it's something, whether we realize it or not, that many of us or people that we know deal with. And God says in verse 3, He says, surely. That word, surely, it means definitely. It means certainly and indeed. I will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. That means the hands of the enemy, the tricks, the traps, and the schemes of the enemy. And from every perilous pestilence. You know what that word means? Deadly disease. Listen, 12 spies were commissioned to go into the promised land, but not all of them were willing to receive that word. Are we willing to receive God's word today? Are we willing to take Him at His word? Listen, I've said this many times, but we don't operate based on what our eyes can see, because the moment we can see, we cease to operate from faith. We cease to operate from a point of faith. God says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God says we walk by faith, not by sight. Those 12 spies had a choice to make. When they entered into that land to view it, to see what would happen and what report they would come back with, they made a choice. 10 of them said, I don't think so. They're too strong for us. We can't do it. But 2 arose. Who amongst us are amongst those 2 today who are willing to be ferocious in the face of fear and not allow it to cause us to buckle at the knee and to cower down because of an impossible situation that we can't control? Who amongst us will be like those 2 who will spearhead this faith-filled life? Who, I'm asking us, will be willing in any and every situation to face fear head on and say, not today, devil? Because what I want us to understand is that fear is a spirit. It's not just an emotion. It is a spirit. And it is a spirit that will attack us and have its way if we allow it. So how do we overcome fear? I want to share very briefly 3 things that I have learned to do in my own personal life. And it's not rocket science. It's just a willingness and some things that God has had to teach me. The first thing that the Lord spoke to me about when facing fear is to repent from it. It's not the fact that I was attacked by fear, but that I allowed myself to dwell upon fear and to be consumed by fear is what I had to repent from. And God had to show me, listen, fear, that type is not for me. Repent. And so I had to say, okay, Lord, I choose to renew my mind in Your word and to trust, Lord. Which leads me to the second point. Trust God. Listen, we've heard this so much, but it bears repeating over and over again. God says, trust Him. What does that look like practically? It means that the moment a thought of fear hits your mind, you bring it to God immediately. You don't wait a day. You don't wait a week. You don't wait until you've talked to everybody that you can think of. Right? You don't wait until after you call the doctor or after you talk to whoever. No. That can come after. First things first, you bring it to God. Because many times, and I will tell you for myself, God being my witness, that there are things that I've taken to God that didn't even have to leave that secret place of prayer. It was done, finished, completed, it was over. Right then and there. He took care of it for me in the secret place of prayer. I didn't have to go any further. He says, bring it to him immediately. Trust him. The Lord is our helper. We shall not fear. He says in Philippians 4, he says, be anxious for nothing. He says, don't be worried about anything. He says, but in everything. How much? Everything. By prayer and supplication. There we go again. You see that? Prayer. Do you know why we teach so much about prayer? Do you see how it's more than just a task or a duty, but it's a relationship building, communion, fellowship, tightening of that trust and that building type of prayer with God? You see why we teach so much about prayer? How necessary it is? God says, trust me in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You let your requests be made known to me, and I will take care of it for you. He says, and then I will give you peace, which surpasses all understanding, and it will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. My brothers and sisters, it's not rocket science. God wants to deliver us more and more each day from that spirit of fear that tries to bombard us. But there's a third thing that I want us to understand as I call the worship team up. Something that I've had to learn. And let me tell you, these things many times can't even be taught. They have to be caught in the place of prayer through God Himself, the Holy Spirit, who teaches us all things. Something that I had to learn for myself was how to pray, but not just pray. Not just regular prayer, meaning, because there's all types of prayer. There's confession prayer. There's praise prayer. There's contemplative prayer. There's soaking prayer, which we did the other night. But then there's warfare prayer. Warfare prayer. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of this world. They are mighty in God for pulling down every stronghold, every spirit of fear that tries to keep us bound. He says that we are able to pull those strongholds down, uproot them out of our life. God is able and God is willing. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, and against spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly realm. I wonder how many of us have been walking in a state of fear, in so much that we've become paralyzed. Many times it causes us to not even want to walk out the house. So much fear. We're going to worship for a few more moments, but I want to pray for maybe one or two. I know we had an altar call, and I know that you can receive deliverance from where you're at. But if you need somebody to intercede on your behalf, if you really need something broken, if you're asking God, God, I can't do it alone. Help. I will pray for you. For those that are consumed and overwhelmed by that spirit of fear. If that is you, just come up to the altar briefly, quickly. Don't be ashamed. Let's stand to our feet together. We're going to worship and we're going to pray for just the next few moments. Come to the altar so we can pray for you. And for the rest of us, just pray and worship and even extend your hand out and just join those that really, really need deliverance today from that spirit of fear.